The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Great lineup today. Todd Heap is going to be with us, the former Baltimore Raven. Yesterday, Arizona State made a huge hire in Brian Billick coming on board, the former Baltimore Raven head coach. And I want to have Todd on that. Plus, last week, there was a bit of a stir around Todd Heap on this show when Danny White was with me, and Danny's going to Mesa Mountain View. That is where Todd is from. Todd's kids are at Red Mountain. Danny said he's going to talk to Todd. All this small city, small town stuff that absolutely is what we're about. We are about the kid next door. The Sun's easy. Cardinals, simple. It's the kid next door, pro college, high school, wrap it all together here in our community. So really good community side with Todd Heap. I want to talk to him about that and also the NFL playoffs. Just have him put his analyst hat on. And then Frank Isola is going to be with us. Always good to have Frank. Producer Steve Birney killing it again. Frank, of course, with Sirius XM, NBA Radio, and ESPN, one of the leading voices in talking about the NBA. And I want to go down the path with him on, this isn't a Suns disrespect, because I've heard that for 30 years being over here. You know, it's the beat LA stuff that is fine, because it's all that fans can do. But like Devin Booker not making the All-Star team as a starter, to me, is like, who cares? But, you know, Frank's got his view on it. Devin knows he's one of the best players. It's a popularity contest for the fans that vote. And so Klay Thompson, who's done very little, is going to be a starter in all likelihood. And I want to talk to Frank about that. And just, you know, Chris Paul's legacy. He's one of these players, much like Charles Barkley, who's never won a title. People say, well, if you haven't won a title, you're really not that good of a player, which is just dumb. It's lazy. It's a lazy narrative. And so I'm going to talk with Frank about that as well. Opening commentary brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. So speaking of the Suns, I want to start there. Even though tonight you have U of A, UCLA, which will be enormous. But the Suns extended James Jones this morning as general manager. Last night, Robert Sarver was actually in the building for the first time in a few months, sitting with Fitz. Can you connect a dot that from a PR standpoint, well, I've been away, but I've been pleased, so I'm gonna say James Jones is our guy while the NBA investigation is going on? Is this kind of a brazen, look at me, I've got this figured out, I have this great team, you need to focus on what we're doing, not on me and what the NBA is investigating me for? And the findings are supposed to come out towards the end of next month, from my understanding. So I was kind of interested by that, timing of it, mid-season, team is killing it, they have the best record in the NBA, the owner happens to be in the building for the first time, and the next morning, boom, you're extending James Jones. I always like to see how the PR side of it goes, because in the court of public opinion, or if you're trying to sway people, you know, you could name James Jones, I don't know, 2 months from now, and it wouldn't surprise anybody why the morning after that the owner shows up for the first time in 60, 90 days, it's just coincidental. No, I think there's more to it. That's just me. In terms of the game last night, Utah didn't have anybody. So the Suns should have won, but they didn't have two of their key players, Jay Crowder and Cam Payne. The Jazz played the night before Golden State, so it's a back-to-back. So again, the Suns should have won. Chris Paul had to go 40 minutes last night. It's a big deal. Well, you know, I'm worried about tread on the tire when we get into May and June. And fortunately, because Monty's really good at what he does, they have not been in a space where they've had to take a lot of tread off of Chris Paul's tires by playing him heavy minutes all season long. If he wants to play, great. But if he's around, I don't know, 28, 30, 32 minutes a game, that's about right, I think, for him at this stage of the season. Again, like, if you would have lost to Utah last night in midseason, so what? So what? They play the Jazz tomorrow night. There was no Gobert last night. There was no Donovan Mitchell last night. There was no Mike Conley last night. So they were playing without most of the bullets in their gun. And the Suns did what they're supposed to do, and that is win. Arizona State basketball lost last night at USC. That's not a surprise because the Trojans are ranked in the top 16. Very talented roster. Arizona State is once again a sub-500 team by a long, long ways. Bobby Hurley did not coach last night. I have been in favor of Bobby Hurley being the coach. When they hired him, I thought it was a great move. I have stuck with Bobby Hurley in terms of, yeah, he's the right guy for now, as he's in his seventh season. It's a long time at any space. And he still does not have a new building to play in. And maybe we're at a point where the consideration, the talk should start to be about, is it just time to press reset on the basketball program? If Bobby's here next year, am I going to say, what are they doing? No, because Bobby's been able to recruit. If you go back to when the COVID hit and the Pac-12 tournament was shut down to now, and every other team's been a part of it, I get it. But you can't deny that Bobby has had some really tough situations to deal with. Not excuses. It's facts. One and done, injuries, stuff. Everybody's got stuff. Some programs were more fortunate than others that they'd have people come back. Remy Martin decided to go to Kansas. Good for Remy. Had a nice run at ASU. If he were here right now, do I think that they would be a program circling the drain? No. No. It's not about, you know, they would win all these games, but I don't think they would have had some of the ugly, blemished, close losses like they've had this season. And there's still time to figure it out and get yourself ready to go when you go to the tournament. I think the meltdown that Bobby had the other night was unacceptable. Fans will say, even people at ASU, well, you weren't there. You didn't see 41-9 in terms of fouls. You can't act like you acted. And so I watched a little bit early last night, and it's like, I've seen this movie before. I know the boat sinks at the end. So I'm not invested in watching start to finish. I'm not. There's no reason to now. They're going to go to Tucson this Saturday, and they're probably going to get smoked. And they're going to play U of A 9 days later, and I don't know what will happen. That game is now, to me, becoming one that I've circled, that I will be at. It's on Monday the 7th, ASU hosting U of A. Because you're not going to get this thing all figured out with COVID, injuries, lack of playing, all of that. All those things may be viewed as excuses. Some of them are legit. But if Bobby can come back and get his team together at the turning point of the year with that second U of A game, or if it's just the same script over again, blown out, you go down the stretch, you go to the Pac-12 tournament, you're a 10 seed, a 9 seed, whatever it is, you're not expected to do much, your season comes to a crashing thud. Anybody in their right mind in a position of authority has got to look at where the basketball program is and say, are we at a space where we need to press reset? I think it's a very fair question. I am totally in favor of pressing reset with the football program with Herm. I don't have anything personal with Herm. Like having Herm around. He is easy to cover. Not easy on game days to watch. At the end of the day, I don't need my job to be made easy because somebody's really good in front of a microphone and a camera, and he is really good. But when the product is what we see, it's all about you guys. It's all about you guys. You're the ones that are putting down the money. You're the ones putting in the time. You're the ones investing your energies into it. I just have to sit and watch it. I don't care if they win or lose. I don't care. But well, there comes a point where you look at it and say, reset. So that leads me to Brian Billick, and I'll get over to U of A basketball in a minute. And then Frank Isola and Todd Heap. Todd Heap coming up here in about 3 minutes. And then Frank Isola at the bottom of the hour. Brian Billick being hired by Arizona State football, it's a great name. I'm going to talk to Todd Heap about the hiring of Brian Billick here in a couple minutes. It's a name that, once again, they're going with the pro model. The pro model to this point hasn't proven to be effective long term. my definition of effective versus ASU's definition of effective are two separate things. Their definition of effective is getting to the Vegas Bowl. My definition of effective is going to the Rose Bowl or the Alamo Bowl. They've been to San Antonio forever. That's a better bowl. Not going back to El Paso and not going to San Diego. So, or making it, you know, what you want in a program is one that will go on and play in the CFP. They're not anywhere near that zip code yet. And I don't know if they ever will be. A lot of factors on that. Brian Billick, that's a credible name to bring in. Good football man, good rep, has done it, can go sit in living rooms with quarterbacks and receivers and tight ends, running backs, talk a great game, give great vision. I can get you the pros. I've been there. I know what it takes. Pretty simple. Now, can he do that in short order? It's an interesting hire. Good name, causes some buzz, deflects away from everything else that's going on around the program. Letter of intent day is next week. You don't think that ASU is saying, hey, Brian, we got to get you out on the road. We got to get the word out, like now. Flip this kid. Flip that kid. Because what's going on in Tucson, they've done a really good job of going out and going after players. You can poo-poo all you want. You can't poo-poo the number one wide receiver on the West Coast going to Tucson. Cannot poo-poo the quarterback from Servite going to Tucson. Can't do that. So if you're one of those ASU people that just wants to hate all day long, that's on you, not me. That's a you problem. I think if you look at the big picture, U of A has closed the gap considerably on ASU. There's some places of strength with ASU. I think on the defensive front, where ASU is right now, they'll just throw U of A around. If we're all caught up in that, which you guys know me well enough to know that's, I don't. It's one game against a program that's done nothing ever. That's not how you judge a successful season, but that's a whole other topic. U of A, UCLA tonight before we get to break. And very much looking forward to seeing how the Wildcats play against UCLA. Both teams at full strength. Both teams have had games to get right from COVID. The Wildcats, to me, just are so much better than anybody else that they've played so far this season. When you look at how they've gone out and taken care of business, I mean just gone out, walked on the court, stepped on, beat on, threw to the side, for the most part, it's been no contest. And you got a bunch of guys at UCLA that came back for another season, very much looking forward to tonight's game. And Dave Pasch and Bill Walton will be calling it, so that'll be fun. All right, Todd Heap is next, and then Frank Isola. Chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. He never screws up. And we're back on the other side with Todd Heap. Stay with us. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, as promised, it's going to catch up with Todd Heap. It's been a minute or two or just 3 weeks ago at the Visit Mesa basketball tournament when we're sitting up in the stands watching his son play for Red Mountain out on the court. And of course, the great Sun Devil, the great Baltimore Raven, joins us for a few minutes. Chop it up. We just haven't chopped it up in a long time. And it's good to see you. What's new in your world?
Oh, there's a lot of new things in my world, mostly just kids and family. Like you said, that was fun to catch up at the that Mountain View Mesa tournament. Some great basketball played that week and great teams. But mostly in my world, it's just kids and sports and try not to do too much outside of that. Enjoy a lot of investing and real estate and other things like that. But good. But enjoying my family for the most part and watching my kids grow up. And it's actually my twin boy's 16th birthday today. So awesome. I want to wish them a happy birthday.
From dad to kids. That is awesome. All right, let's go down the list on some things. Brian Billick is probably the top of the news cycle, being hired by Arizona State. Herm Edwards brings him in. What are they getting in Brian Billick? Does this move surprise a former Sun Devil great like yourself?
I'm surprised he hasn't been involved in coaching since he was with the Ravens. You know, I'm surprised nobody's picked his brain more. I'm sure that a lot of people have picked his brain, but I'm surprised nobody's picked him up. Of course, he does like the media. He does like talking sports. But Brian's one of my favorite coaches of all time. I really enjoyed playing. Just as brilliant as a man. He's got an interesting thing where he has a persona to the media, but then when you get him in the locker room, it's similar yet different. I mean, he has an ability to get his point across and to really put thought and effort into his messages. And I always appreciated that. I was with him for 7 years. Great guy, great football mind. I think we're getting a lot of great things out of Brian Billick, bringing him on at ASU.
Yeah. So you weren't really surprised by this? It just that it took too long or so long.
I'm surprised that we got him at ASU. I was going to say, I'm surprised that somebody else around the NFL, or he hasn't gotten other opportunities, you know, other places. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with probably his choices as well. But yeah, I'm surprised that we got him at ASU and excited for him to be around. I reached out to him yesterday and can't wait for him to get here.
There you go. Todd Heap with us for a few minutes. I don't know what to put an exclamation point on last weekend of the playoffs. If you're able to watch them from start to finish, you'd be keeping an eye on them. But, you know, Todd, it had been the greatest postseason weekend that I've ever seen. What about you?
I would agree with that. I mean, from game to game, I mean, you just thought it couldn't get better. And the games kept getting better. And it's such a win for the NFL, win for the fans. Not a win for all the players involved, because guys got to go home. But I'm sure being a part of that, such a great experience for all those men to really, you know, you got to go through some of those things to get over the next hill. And so, you know, some of those guys I look at, and I was so impressed with how they played, win or lose. I think it's just going to give them experience and kind of give them, you know, propel them in future games and future situations. So it was so fun to watch. I mean, I like you, I just love it. Lot, but it's the competition that always drove me, always growing up. And so you couldn't ask for anything better than to be in games like that. And as a fan now watching it, you know, you get to feel that, you get to kind of be in those shoes. And it brings back those memories. It brings back those juices get flowing, and you're kind of like, man, that's when you miss it. Watching games like that, don't miss a lot. You miss the locker room and you miss the games. But other than that, that's why you play the game, for games like that.
Todd Heap with us for a few minutes. When you see Tom Brady on the field, there's a lot of discussion about whether he could still play, should play, all that. What do you make out of where he is in that whole debate?
I think the guy can do whatever he wants to do. I mean, arguably, to me, he was the end of, you know, the I would be surprised, you know, if he doesn't come back because of his competitive nature. At the grow up over the so many years, I mean, 20 plus years, and you see him and his kids and his family and how much they mean to him. And so when he says, my family's going to have a big part in this decision, you know, I take him at his word, and that's always a huge part of it. You put your family a lot when you play football in the NFL, because you have to kind of take a lot of, you know, you have to take everything on yourself and really focus on yourself and kind of be selfish, and your family can suffer if you don't do it correctly. And so I understand, you know, the things he's going through when he says, I'm going to consult with my family. We're going to sit down and talk about it, and then we'll make a decision.
Before I get you out of here, we're with Todd Heap for a few minutes. A lot going on in the news cycle. So last week, Danny White becomes a Toro. And I'm thinking, oh, this is Westwood High, but he goes to Mountain View. I have him on the stream. I have him on the show. I said, I have to ask you about Todd Heap because, of course, your relation with him. And he went right down the line of course, love Todd, know Todd, all that. And that there's this list of Toros that he wants to talk to about his new position at Mountain View. Have you heard from Danny yet? And what did you make out of that move?
I haven't talked to Danny yet, but I obviously, as soon as it happened, I think I got about, 10 or 15 text messages that day. So, but I've talked to Danny a lot over the years. He's always kind of been an idol of mine from a young age. We're an Arizona family. The Heaps are an Arizona family. My mom's. And I was born in Texas while Danny was playing for the Cowboys. Mm. And so I kind of grew quickly changed when we got back to Arizona, and there were some other things and Danny wasn't there anymore. And most importantly, since I've been in the NFL, I've since put that Cowboys affection away. But, I love Danny. He's, one of the greatest quarterbacks to come out of Arizona. He's a great guy. He's done a fantastic job in his coaching career as well. He's going to bring a lot of knowledge and a lot of support to the Toro program. Joe's doing good things over there. Mike Oliver's doing great things over there. I've been a Toro for a long time, and so I'll always support those guys. But my boys go to Red Mountain, so it's interesting the dynamic and how that works. But obviously, I'm excited for Danny and for Joe Germain.
You dropped out there for a second. You there?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. No worries. Well, the Battle of Brown Road became a lot more interesting last week. So, the Toro Nation, and Danny said you're on his list of people he wants to talk to. And I think that list sounds like a bunch of Toros from the 90s and even maybe before that in early 2000s. That program, just sticking on high school for a minute, a bigger story, and you and I talked about this in the bleachers, is the Mesa School District, high school district. And now you're in the middle of it as a dad. That district has just been sitting there morbid for a long time, but you want to make change, right?
It's always been about competing, and you want to compete and you want to compete the right way. And you want to get people in positions that can help the boys learn how to do that and learn how to grow to be men. And it's never is important, supremely important. I think you got to do everything you can within the rules and within the spirit of competition to try to win. You learn a lot more from losing, but you can learn a lot from putting yourself in position to do everything you can to win. And you want to have your boys, your high school young men growing up to be men, learn what that looks like, learn how to do it the right way. And so across Mesa schools, it's important. Like you said, it's kind of been dormant for a little while. The success hasn't been there. Red Mountain's had the most success, over the so many years. But I see Mountain View trying to get that back and bringing guys back in the fold to get that back, that spirit back. But it's going to take some leadership. It's going to take some thought, some vision to make that happen for all of Mesa schools. And so, we saw Chandler go through the ups and downs and look where they're at now.
Yep.
You see, a lot of the schools that are at the top, they've been through lulls, 5-10 years here and there of not figuring out. And it takes somebody coming in with a vision to change it.
No. And I think you're one of those guys, and it was great to catch up with you. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and your insights. As always, stay safe, stay healthy. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. I love catching up with you.
There's Todd Heap, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. Thanks to DraftKings. All right, let's take a deeper dive into the Suns with Frank Isola. It's nice to have Frank back on board. SiriusXM, ESPN, Yes Network, author, a lot of different places. It's in the NBA for a long, long time. This is a narrative I want to start with that is out here only in Phoenix, in our little bubble. And that is fans out here, people out here, observers say the Suns are being overlooked again this year nationally. Nationally, Frank Isola, are the Suns being overlooked? Devin Booker, not even close to being an all-star guy yet. Klay Thompson's up there. I don't think that's the biggest metric, but for many fans, it's like disrespect once again to Phoenix. Where are you on this?
Well, I mean, I don't know why they would care about that. You look at the standings are in first place. That's all I would care about if I was a fan. How is my team doing? And obviously, they have the best record in the NBA. I was saying today on the show I do with Brian Scalabrine that I think if you look at every team at this moment, and you're factoring injuries, Draymond Green's out. You look at the teams in the Eastern Conference, Kevin Durant is out. Right this moment, to me, the Phoenix Suns are the most championship-ready team. And I understand the frustration with Devin Booker. Based on what he did last year, what he's doing this year, they have the best record. He's probably not going to be an all-star starter. He's going to make the all-star team. But you can't base it on that. Trae Young has the second most votes among guards in the Eastern Conference. Their team is in 12th place. So the All-Star game is a fan's game. It's who they want to see in there. Right. Devin Booker is eventually going to get that starting nod, but he's going to get voted on by the coaches, which, let's face it, I would think in a lot of ways that should mean more because that's really his peers voting him on.
I agree with you on that. When you see Devin Booker, who does he remind you of at this stage of his career that's already through the league?
Well, I always hate saying this because he's not Kobe Bryant, but a lot of things that he does kind of reminds me of Kobe, especially that little fadeaway that he takes when, you know, that mid-range jumper where he doesn't really need that much space to kind of fade away and knock down a jumper and kind of that, just his disposition on the court. He's such a fiery competitor. And to me, he's gotten better every single year for a guy that, you know, was one of those last great Kentucky players drafted in the first round that year. What he's become as a player, it's sensational. The jump that he's made, Chris Paul's brought everything together, but I look at DeAndre Ayton, obviously Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, to me, one of the more underrated players in the league. But Devin Booker, him taking that huge step is what got Phoenix over the hump last year to make it to the NBA Finals.
Many fans here point to a 70-point game he had at Boston. I sat on the air and said, he's on a lousy team. They're going to let him take 40 shots. When I look at his productivity now, and obviously the talent has been upgraded considerably. But, Frank, many nights he's scoring 30 on 16, 18 shots. It's not like the ball goes into him and he's jacking it up. He's so productive now.
Yeah. And how about I thought, which was a big sign of maturity and improvement in his game, you mentioned that 70-point game. Remember the Phoenix Suns, they celebrate afterwards and they took the Wilt Chamberlain photo with him holding up the 70, which is, it's a great accomplishment. They lost the game.
Yeah. Yes.
How about the game that he had just recently where he had, what was it, 48 or 49? And he came out of the game with about 2 minutes to go where he easily could have stayed, which a lot of, and you could understand it. He could have stayed in the game to get the 50, but they had the win. And it was like, you know what? Let's call up the dogs. To me, that says a lot about him. He's going to put the numbers up and he's doing it, like you're saying, much more efficiently. But I think he sees the big picture. I think the players that are great players and want to become superstars, they know that ultimately they're going to be judged on how many titles they want. Mm-hmm. And having all this other stuff, you know, 70 points in a game, scoring titles, even MVP awards, all that stuff is nice. But let's face it, the fans, the media, we seem to define these players by how many rings they win. And he's still looking to get that first one, but clearly on the right path.
Frank Isola with us. You can hear all this content on SiriusXM. You can watch him on ESPN content and also on the Yes Network. He joins us for a couple of minutes. I want to stick with that. Chris Paul still has zero NBA titles.
Yeah.
yet I see Chris Paul, and it's similar, Frank, to when Charles was here, where people said, well, he never won a title, doesn't make him a great player. It's one of the dumbest arguments I've heard. Yep. But in Chris Paul's case, what do you see out of him at this stage of his career, and are you amazed at what he's still able to do?
Yeah, and by the, you know, I covered Patrick Ewing for a long time in New York. He didn't win a title either.
Yeah.
John Stockton, Karl Malone didn't win one. Reggie Miller didn't win one. Like you mentioned, Charles Barkley, give me a break. Those guys are all-time legendary players. And Chris Paul right now is in the same boat. And all you need to do with Chris Paul is just look at the last 2 years of his career. In Oklahoma City, where everyone said, well, no, they'll probably trade him. They'll buy him out. That team's not good enough. Think about what he did for all the players on that team. Mm-hmm. Then think about what he did for Phoenix. If you go back to 2 years ago, he played so well. Oklahoma City was able to trade Paul George and get that sweetheart of a deal to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in there. So Chris Paul, for me, is, you know, what he's done the last 2 years, he's put himself on a much different level. He took a young group of players and not only made them better, but the leadership that he provides. I think that Monty Williams, who, as you know very well, is a very serious guy.
Yep.
Chris Paul's the same way. I always felt that Phoenix, even when they've had good teams, the image you get from the outside, it's like a country club.
Come, I don't view golf, it like, man. Come, yeah, here and golf.
Exactly. I don't view it like that anymore. No. They seem like it's a very serious organization that's only about winning. Look at what they did against Dallas, you know, where they had to come back in the fourth quarter. Like every night, if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to give it your best, because that team is a serious team who knows that their time is now, especially with Chris Paul, and they're going to be a very tough out come playoff time.
I think they're better than a year ago because of Shamet and because of McGee, along with the
and grit. Experience.
Yeah, and the grit of Crowder. You know, this was a team that did have that perception of soft and, hey, we're happy out here to go shoot a 74 and get our heads kicked in. And then the whole ownership situation that I think will get resolved next month. None of that is factored. At the start of the year, the narrative was, yeah, are they going to be distracted? No, they don't care. They go out and they just play. It does go to Monty. But I think you're right that the grit of the team and the perception of them is changing. It just hasn't grabbed hold yet nationally. I believe it will through titles, but fans out here are still going to the same old, nobody respects us. So
yeah, I know they say that. And I do also think, you know, the Lakers are always going to be a big story. And yep, really the big story right now, and the Phoenix Suns fans should take a lot of joy in this, it's really about the dysfunction of the Lakers and the losing of the Lakers. They have a losing record. The whole situation with Russell Westbrook, LeBron James at this stage of the season, when's the last time he's been on a sub-500 team, more than halfway through the year? So I think the Lakers are an interesting story, more so than the Suns right now, because the Suns are just steady. They're just climbing, and we know where they are. They're going to keep getting better. They're probably going to have finished with the best record in the league. So the Lakers are interesting because they're dysfunctional. The Nets are interesting because you have the whole situation with Kyrie Irving. He's only playing in road games, which is completely unusual. So a lot of times what the story is doesn't necessarily mean that the top teams aren't getting respect. It's just that there's other interesting stories. But when the playoffs start, that'll be the Suns' time.
Yeah, and sitting here at this point of the season, that can't get here soon enough from my
opinion. I hear you.
Frank Isola with us. We appreciate chopping it up with you, Frank. Thanks.
Good. I'll see you soon.